remember singing that song that Sarah picked out, Footsteps of Jesus. The youth is called Higher Ground. And the song opposite the page, I couldn't help but notice, is called Higher Ground. And the chorus to that song says, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And I thought that was kind of special. And after this experience, I've learned to listen to fate and karma and all that good stuff. Getting the kids down there was a challenge. I want to shorten everything up because we want the kids to share more. But it was a challenge just to get them down there. We had 15 days to get them down there. And we were a little worried about how we were going to do it. So we went on the pretense of build it and they will come. So we went ahead and booked it in. And it was a challenge just getting it booked in. But once we got it booked in, things just began to happen. There was like this fire was going and it was raging out of control. We had 15 seats on the bus, and that was our original goal, was to take 15. If we could just get 15 there, we thought we would be doing good. The cabin slept 15. So our goal was to get 15 there. We'd bought 15 tickets, and we ended up having 15 go, and then they began to add and add until we had 21 people going on this trip. So we had people sleeping on the floor, and we ended up having to take extra vehicles just to get everybody down there. But it was a good experience, and it was a learning experience for me. I wanted to let you know that I felt like God spoke to me through this experience, and the kids wanted me to share this. All my life, I've heard pastors and people in church families and my close Christian friends talk about, you know, God speaking to them, and God led me to do this, or I asked God what to do, and he answered, or God will get us through this, or he'll tell us what to do. And I'd always think to myself, how does that happen? You know, you can't hear him. He doesn't talk to you. How does this happen? And I always felt like that would probably never happen to me. And I envied those people that did happen to, because I envied people who had that relationship, who were that close to God, so close that they could actually communicate with him. And from the moment Pastor Jim talked about resurrection, the first night we had a meeting together, I dwelled on it. I couldn't get it out of my mind. It was with me every second of every day for the first week until we actually got this thing booked. And then once we got it booked, that just left me. All of that anxiety that I was feeling just left me. So, but at that point, I still wasn't getting it. I wasn't getting why it had left me. And I didn't realize how God was laying this trip on my heart until I got down there on Saturday night, and Reggie gave the invitation. He was our speaker. And when he asked, you know, if anybody wants to accept Christ, if you've answered yes to accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and our kids began to stand up, that's when it hit me that God had actually spoke to me about this trip. He knew all along that the bus would be full and we'd get down there. And these kids, Justin, tissue. We did this all morning through the first service. I cried through the whole thing. But if you could have seen these kids head to the altar, they didn't walk to the altar. They ran to the altar. And their hands were in the air, and they were praising God. And it was the most amazing thing I had ever seen and ever witnessed. And I knew at that point that God had a plan all along. He knew if we booked this trip, we'd get that bus full, we'd fill that cabin, and it would be more than filled. We would have people sleeping on the floor, and he knew that these kids were going to make this decision. And we had, I think, six kids accept Christ that night. And you missed it if you didn't come to the early service, because we had someone accept Christ this morning at the 8:30 service because of the testimony and things that they had experienced. But another thing they wanted me to share with you was their Facebook posts. Some people think Facebook's a waste of time and it's an unwholesome social forum, but I would like for you to know that these young people are using this forum in a positive way and have been for the last few weeks. They are ministering to their friends, and I'm not even sure they know what they're doing and that they're doing it. And here's just a few things they had to say, and I won't read them all, but I'll read a few. And the first one says, Let me just say, God is amazing. I couldn't ask for a better life with crazy awesome people I love and adore. Resurrection brought a turnaround point in my life, a whole new outlook on life, and it's great, let me tell you. I'm certain that God, who began the good work with you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ returns. And someone else says, take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. You can't, and I can't get this song out of my head. I had a great weekend. And then one says, let brotherly love continue. Hebrews 13:1. Another person says, I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. This was actually a chant. This was Psalms 119:13, and this was a chant that they did all weekend. And you would say, I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. And another writes, tonight was life-changing. So many people were saved that you wouldn't believe. Christ is amazing. So glad I got to experience resurrection. This weekend was amazing. I went to resurrection, and I got to spend it with some amazing people. I learned so much, and now I have to come home and apply everything I've learned to my life. Somebody says, it's a Holy Ghost party because the Holy Ghost party don't stop. That was a song we sang. It was the only line of the whole song. It went on for 20 minutes, and I think they could have sang it the whole service. Every relationship for a Christian is an opportunity to love another person as God loves us. How profound is that for a teenager? I have a best friend. I talk to him every night and all day. He knows me better than anyone in this world ever could. I tell him all my secrets, even though he watches over me every second of every day. His name is God. I have him in my heart, and one day I'll be with him. To everyone who has ever felt alone or like you have no one, you always have God. He's always going to be there to listen, no matter what time it is. Just ask him to be your Savior, and you'll meet him too one day. Tissue. This one says, hey, Reggie, you don't know me, and I've never heard of you in my life, but I saw you speak on the computer on Saturday morning. I didn't get to go to Resurrection, so my girlfriend convinced me to watch it on the internet. Anyway, I just wanted to say, because of your speech is what brought me to know your Jesus. I was saved that morning, and I'm going to be baptized, and I'm also starting a praise band at the church I've recently started attending. Well, that's all I have to say, but thank you again. And then one posts, I can, you can, we can, I've got your back. And I think Joey's going to demonstrate that for us this morning. This was a huge thing that we did, and I think it speaks leaps and bounds. It's so simple. But you don't know how many times that I've heard these youth say in the last 2 weeks, Bonnie, I've got your back. When I asked them, I said, are you going to be there for me Sunday morning to tell this congregation what you experienced? They all said, I've got your back.
Okay, everyone's going to have to stand up and do this with me. Come on. Can we stand in here? Oh. Can you see me? Okay. The first part of it is, I can.
You can.
We can.
I got your back.
All right, one more time.
I can.
You can.
We can.
I got your back.
Simple little thing says so much. And then this morning it was posted, or the other night it was posted, it says it was from a little girl named Jasmine, and she has trouble getting here sometimes, and she says to Joey, she said, Joey, are you going to give me a ride to youth tomorrow? And Joey said, I got your back. So I thought that was sweet. Well, I'm going to let Debbie come and speak now, and she's going to share something that we experienced on Saturday morning, which is probably one of the most powerful things I've ever witnessed in my life. And she's going to share that with us. And her name's Debbie Stewart. She's a little local girl. I met Debbie about a year ago. Actually, last Thursday was our, we were diet buddies, and last Thursday was our 1 year anniversary. And Katie too. We've lost over 100 pounds collectively. So we decided this morning in Sunday school, we've actually lost the equivalent of Timothy.
Yeah.
So there was one other thing I was going to, oh, and one other thing I wanted to share before I sit down, and I didn't get to share this this morning. I didn't think about it, but Daniel actually went with us down here on this trip, and him and Ivy came down late, and he was taking a shower, and as he was stepping out of the shower, he fell. And we were all downstairs, and since I can't hear, I pick up vibrations, and I felt him fall. And I said, "Did y'all hear that?" And somebody said, "Well, I don't know if I heard that or not." And then everybody hollers, "Tony, are you okay?" I guess because he's the clumsy one. I don't know. But they just automatically assumed it was Tony. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm fine." And Daniel comes down a little bit later, and he says, "You know, I fell getting out of the bathroom, and I think I really sprained my arm bad." And, of course, we had a doctor in the house. And so he checked him out and ended up getting him a splint for the next day. And we thought it was just a really serious sprain. Well, when he came back Monday and actually had this thing x-rayed, this man spent the weekend out there with these kids with a broken arm. And it wasn't just broken one place. It was broken several places. So we want to give big kudos to Daniel up there in the cast. And hold that.
And he never complained at all. Never complained. Well, resurrection, you think, is for the youth?
I'm not done yet.
Oh, sorry. Well, you handed me the microphone.
I know. I called you up too early. I wanted to give these to the Stokers and Daniel and Debbie. It's just a little something that shows how much we appreciate you going, because we would have never been able to pull this trip off without you. And it just wouldn't have happened, from the cooking to being there, from holding these kids and hugging them and loving on them. It just wouldn't have happened without you.
Thank you. I'll start again. Well, we think resurrection is for the youth, and I liked what Ivy said this morning, is you come and you hope to leave changed. And I can say I never imagined that it would be so life-changing, resurrection. After all, it was for kids, and I was very surprised. Reggie was our speaker, and he told a story of his childhood. He was born to a prostitute that slept with his mother for $20. He never knew his father, and he was put in foster care when he was 10 years old. He tells the story of one day he's walking down the street. Now, Reggie had a unique way of describing himself. He says there's white chocolate, there's dark chocolate, and there's Carmelo. And he was Carmelo. And so this gentleman was walking by him, and he was Carmelo, because there's not many Carmelo guys out there. And he's thinking, "Hey, this guy could be my dad." And so he follows him, and apparently the gentleman works in a government building. And he gets to the door, and he can't go any further, and he stands there, and he thinks, "There's my dad. He could be my dad. He left me." And he stands, and he cries, and it rains, and he cries and cries. No one stops. No one asks him, does he need help? No one hugs him. No one does nothing. And so his whole mission in life is, I am going to be there for kids. This is not going to happen to them. So he had us mom stand, and he told us we were just simply to hug kids, and we were like, okay. And so Reggie said, "You are in the presence of God. Can you feel it? If you're fighting suicide, if you've tried it, if you think about it or dream about it, then I want you to stand." And I thought to myself as I was standing, you know, kids think lots of things, but they're not willing to stand up and admit it. And I have to say, after he said that, I was utterly stunned when the wave of children stood in that room. It took my breath away. As a mom, I want to gather them all up, comfort them, tell them it would be okay. And our jobs was to grab a child and hug them. And so I found this beautiful girl, as Reggie called him, baby, behind me. And when she latched onto me, she held onto me as if her life depended on it, and she would not let go. I never experienced the pure pain that poured from her tears and sobbing. It was overwhelming, and I felt like she was holding on to me for dear life, and I was pulling her out of the darkness. She was soaking up everything I had to give her and holding me so tight I could barely breathe. A prayer flowed out of me over this young lady that had to be straight from God. I'm not very good with words, saying exactly what she needed to hear at that moment. The 10 minutes really changed my life forever, and I'm sure I had an impact on hers. Someone told me once that suicide is a very permanent solution to a very temporary problem that can be solved normally very easily. So I'll never forget looking out and seeing the sea of babies, as Reggie called them, wanting to hold them, but there was simply not enough of us moms. The broken faces was just overwhelming. I wanted to go to them. I just simply couldn't, because the child that had a hold of me was not letting go. I gave her comfort, security, and compassion for 10 minutes, and her pain was transferred to me, and I felt it in every being of my soul. So lots of times we think, how can we make a difference? What is it? Can we make a difference? And 10 minutes is all it takes to make a difference. So my message is find that hurting child. Whether you think they're hurting or not, grab a hold of them, hug them, love the unlovable, the broken, and hold on tight, and don't let go.
I didn't speak this morning. I'm speaking for Mike and I, who went, and we were going to be speaking at the 11 o'clock service, and I had prepared a little something. And after I heard Bonnie and Debbie, they just spoke, and after I heard that, I thought, well, my testimony, what I have to say, is like nothing compared to theirs, because they were so awesome. And then Tony spoke, and I sort of identified with his, because he said he actually started this with trepidation, sort of, the trip. And when Bonnie originally said something to me about it, I thought, oh, that's great, and I wanted to go. But as the time grew nearer, I sort of realized a little bit more what was involved, and we had a meeting maybe a week before we left, and Bonnie was talking about the fact that we were going to be cooking for everybody, and my heart just sank, because I thought, we're going to go have this wonderful weekend, and I won't have to cook or worry about any of that, and we'll just have a good time, we'll go worship. And then I realized there's a little bit more to it than that. And also it involved, you know, we got down there, and there were four services, one Friday night, two Saturday, and one Sunday morning. And there were two sessions. Like Friday night, there was an early session and a late session, and we did the late one, which started, I think, at 9:30, went to like 11 or later, and we got home late. And then, of course, you know, kids, and they stay up late, and then the adults had to get up early and help cook. And so anyway, I was sort of dreading it. And the day we go, at least school was half a day, so that the kids didn't have to get out of school. It was bitter cold, and the snow, as we were driving down there, the snow was blowing sideways, and I'm thinking, oh, you know, this is how it's going to begin. And as the weekend went on, I developed actually an abscessed tooth, and so I was also in pain. But I have to say that it was an awesome weekend, and just the whole events, the music. We had two different groups that sang. The speaker was absolutely awesome, and the kids will give more testimony about that. And I was moved. I was moved by our kids, as well as the hundreds and thousands, I'm not sure how many were there, and just by their enthusiasm and what went on. But I do have to say, we had originally thought we would not probably make it to the Sunday morning service, because we were in this cabin, we were cooking, we'd have to get up, feed the kids, clean up, get everybody ready, packed, and out and get the cabin clean. And so we didn't think we would do it. And it was unanimous. The kids, led by Mr. Joey here, was the loudest voice, really sort of put their foot down and said, we want to go, we want to go. And Bonnie said, all right. And it was unanimous. She says, if you want to go, then you have to be up and ready. And they did stay up till, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 in the morning, I don't know. But they were up, they were packed, they were ready. And we got to that last service, and it was awesome. I just want to say a quick thanks to Bonnie, who has been our youth leader starting, you know, this fall, has done an awesome job. She's been wonderful. And, I have to say, I was so sorry that Jennifer left. She and had done such a wonderful job, and Rusty together, and I was sorry to see them go. But I have to say that Bonnie is just every bit as awesome in her own unique way, and we should be very grateful to her. Also to Tony, who drove the church van down there. He's a truck driver in his working life, and I was so grateful to him. I didn't worry about that at all. He did an awesome job, and he is also the leader of the pancake crew in the morning. Debbie, who went with us and got up, and she and Bonnie planned the meals. They went and got the food, got it together, and I thought, oh dear, this is, you know, when they were talking about it, I thought it's going to take forever. We're going to be late by the time we get this food ready, get them fed, get cleaned up. We weren't. We were early and made it on time for everything. They did a wonderful job planning it and just getting right in there and doing it. Also, Daniel, as was mentioned, poor fella, slipped on. I mean, he drives down late that night with Ivy after basketball game. The next morning, or was it afternoon? Morning, he slips, falls, breaks his arm. And you're right, he did not complain at all. He didn't complain. It was so nice. Also, I want to thank Katie, who gave up her last weekend before going back to college to be with us, and she connected with the youth wonderfully, and they really needed it. As I said, one of the most moving things was when Reggie, after just the second session, was able to bring all these hundreds of youth to this point where they would admit. I thought when he said, anyone who has ever considered suicide, thought about it, whatever, would stand up, and I'm thinking, well, there's not going to be anybody. And we were amazed at the number of children, kids that did stand up. And I thought to myself afterwards, if those had the courage to stand up, how many had that feeling and did not stand up? And when we left after that service, I mean, the whole service, it was just quiet. It just brought us all to a feeling of soberness, that this is how, if the youth in this group, who are probably generally in Christian environments, feel this way, how much more do the other children in our country feel? So that was awesome. So I want to thank all these people, and last but not least, I want to thank you all, the congregation, for allowing us to go to use the church van, to use things that we were able to, and for the money that you gave to youth that would not have otherwise been able to go, because this resulted in salvation for several of these youth, and you just can't put that in terms of money. And Reggie also gave a call for anybody who would be interested in ministry, and so many came forward, including some in our group. So you can know that what the money that you gave and the prayers that you gave for this trip have gone far beyond your wildest imagination, because it really reached these children. And I just want to thank you for that.
People that went to Resurrection, and my name's Justin. I'm pretty sure y'all know these two. Hopefully, if not, that's Andre and that's Clayton. But like, when we got to Resurrection, at first we wasn't that close of friends. You know, we was friends, but we wasn't close. But like, after the Sunday, after the Saturday service, and all of us got to talking and sitting down, you know, just three normal teenage boys just sitting down talking, we actually become more closer than anything before.
and like we're like really good best friends now. And the whole time when Clayton brought his Xbox, me and him, while everybody else was downstairs doing what they was doing, me and him, we sat upstairs, started talking about resurrection, how cool and awesome it was. And it was just like a life-changing experience for all three of us, I'm pretty sure. And it was just amazing. And we also wanted to thank Tony and Bonnie and all the adults, even Katie. Can't forget about Katie for keeping me company on the bus. But we got to thank y'all a lot for taking us on that trip and letting us have a wonderful time. We also got to thank the pastor, too. Can't leave him out. And even though Daniel did get a little hurt, I mean, he was always fun to have because he let me and Clayton play on Xbox Live with his Wi-Fi hotspot. I mean, got to give you that. But is there anything y'all want to say that y'all are going to say? Say something.
Well, all I got to say is if you got kids or grandkids or anybody that wants to come to youth one night, you should bring them because resurrection will change your life.
Say one thing. I'm not going to say a whole lot, so it was really, really fun, and we do thank everybody who helped out and gave just a dollar for it. We thank all of you.
And I guess we're going to turn it over to Justin Ray right now.
Morning. Many of you know me. Y'all know my family. Most of y'all do. We used to come here about 2 years ago. I think it's been since we went back. And it's good to see a lot of you. I haven't seen Miss Wingard in a while. It's been good to see her. It's good. I haven't seen you in a while. I don't know if you remember me or not. I did not have the opportunity to go to Resurrection. I was the kid that stayed home and his girlfriend talked him into watching it. But to understand really what Resurrection did for me, I'd like to explain to you all how I was before. And I've always been a pretty decent kid, I guess, but I've done some things I'm not proud of. I've been some places that I didn't want to be. And about 5 months ago, I was dating a girl, and I'd been dating her about 2 years almost. And, you know, your first love is a big thing, I'm sure all you know. And we broke up, and it happens. Get over it. It's whatever. I didn't just get over it. I was highly, highly depressed, and I was one of those kids who would have stood up if I could go. And for me, I wish I had gone. I was sitting there on the computer, and when those kids stood up, I couldn't stop crying. I was like, I'd really like to be there right now, and I needed someone to hug me, and no one was down there, and I felt alone and empty. Even though I had great friends, I have loving parents, great parents, I'll say that, and I have great people around here. I had been coming to youth a couple of times because I was looking for something. I went to church, and I needed something because I was empty. Something was missing, and I couldn't figure out what it was, and I was just deep and low, and I was hurt, and I would be in my truck. I'd be driving. I'd be like, I ain't got to take this next turn. I could just go off the road. Maybe people think I try to swerve to miss a deer or something. And I was like that. And then I was watching that, and I was just like, wow. And I looked up. And at this point, I still didn't really care. And I looked up, and I was like, if you're real, you need to show me right now. Like, and I felt it. Like, I could feel he's in this room right now, everywhere. All you guys know, you guys hear it every Sunday. Everyone needs to feel the way I do right now because I'm a new person. I'm singing for you guys, doing all these things. I'm talking to you guys right now. Everyone needs to feel like this because I feel great. I feel great every day. I wake up, I look in the mirror, and I was like, man, I look so good. God had to make two of me so ladies would stay off me. Everyone needs to feel like this because no one should feel the way I did when I was depressed like that. No one deserves to feel like that. And I would look up at night and I'd be like, you're not real. I feel like crap. You wouldn't do this to me if you were real. God didn't do that to me. God had to show me that he was real because I had to go through that dark place to find the light. You know, there's light at the end of every tunnel. That was my light. And I remember getting up the next morning. I don't know how I did it. I know how I did it now, but at the time, I didn't know how I did it. I was so depressed. I didn't know how to get up the next morning because I mean, I didn't want to, but I did. And I look back on it now, and that was God's helping hand. So we call it a God wink is what you say. I call it a God wink. He winks at you, and he goes, I thought you'd like that. And for me, it's changed my whole life, and I just want to do the same thing for other people because everyone needs to feel this way, everybody. I hate it for people who don't feel this way. And for the kids who do want to kill themselves, commit suicide, that is very real, and the leading cause of it is relationships for kids my age. And for me, I just want to do what I can to relate to those kids because your strongest influence is your peers. we got parents, and we got Miss Swingard. I love Miss Swingard to death. She was my favorite teacher in seventh grade. She was mean, but she was good. She got the point across. Sometimes you need a little bit of meanness to control people. And that's all I got to say. Thank y'all for letting me speak and listen to me blabber on, and I'll turn it over to whoever else needs to speak now. We don't know whose turn it is. It's you.
Sorry, I'm sorry. Do I really need this mic?
Yes. Oh,
goodness. Okay, fine. If y'all say so. All right, I'm going to try to make it quick because I'm a blabbermouth. I talk forever and ever if you let me. But I just want to tell you that Resurrection was one of the best things I've ever experienced in my life. And I can be honest, when I was going down there, I was in the car and I was like, oh my gosh, get me out of this car. I'm so tired of sitting in this car. And I was thinking, well, Resurrection will be okay. Got there, went to bed, got up the next morning, pancakes, thank you, Tony, and all y'all too that helped. And we went and we had the first service in the morning. And I was like, eh, it's okay. It's not amazing, but it's not junky either, so it's okay. And we got there that night and I was like, this will be okay. And it was more of a quiet setting. And we worshiped and we went to sit back down. And Reggie was explaining his life and explaining how things had happened to him. And he was like, on the count of three, I want anyone that has ever thought about suicide, dreamed of it, had any thought, anything that has to do with it. And I was thinking, you know, I mean, as a teenager, you're thinking, yeah, people are going to stand up for that. And I'm like, no one thinks that way. No one's going to be like that. And I mean, maybe a couple kids, you know, maybe emotional kids. But, nah, not a normal teenager. They're not going to stand up. And the amount of kids that stood up broke my heart. I'm not a crier. I'm not a crier. Ask anyone that I'm best friends with. I'm not a crier. It brought me to tears. And it tore my heart to see that kids think about this every day. I mean, I'd realized it and I'd known it, but it wasn't in my face. It clicked and something clicked. And I was like, I need to change how I act. I need to be more of a giver to other people and be something for other kids that they need. Because you never know if a kid that you talk to and you just said, I don't really like you. Or that little kid is the snottiest kid I've ever met. Well, you don't know what their background is. You don't know what they've been going through. Maybe the one smile that you said or the one comment that you said, hey, I hope you have a great morning. Or you were like, hi. And, you know, you just some little dorky smile. Maybe that was the best thing that's happened to them since last year. And you didn't know it. And I just feel like we need to make a change. And that everyone should go out and all the time, 24/7, you should be giving God everything you've got. Every second, every day. That's the first thing you wake up in the morning. All right, how many people can I bring to Jesus? All right, hey you, nice to meet you. Why on earth are you so happy? You scare me. Well, I love Jesus, that's exactly why. And it's just, that's the attitude that we need to have so that everyone can feel amazing. Because no one likes to feel miserable and down in the dumps. I mean, yuck. So just go out and be the best person that you can be. And try when that person comes up to you and says, yeah. I don't like you. Be like, I'm sorry you feel that way. I will pray for you. Instead of being like, yeah, I don't like you either. Yep.
Do I need it?
Yes, so they can hear me behind me.
I'm a loud individual, but I will use it. I'm going to keep this short.
Now I am. First off, I would truly like to thank the congregation for supporting the youth in this adventure. I will not stand here and lie to you. I was not looking forward to this trip at all. I'm not that kind of person. I thought it would turn out to be where the parents had a free weekend and the chaperones would be babysitters. I've been involved in Scouts, Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts for way over 11 years, and I learned that BSA stood for Babysitters of America. Hey, that's the way it is. But these kids, I got to find my place because I just went way off the road, y'all. I apologize with all my heart to y'all and especially to these young adults here. I lost my place again. Boy, I'm going to have to get me a piece of paper here or something. I realized on this soul-seeking adventure that these kids on the bus, they're young adults, and I could see each one of them mature a little bit each and every day. I mean, it was 2 days. It was two fast days, but I learned every single second, every minute. I could see them starting to glow, and this glow, it wasn't just in their eyes. I could see it glowing from within their hearts, and that started to touch me, and I realized that I was being, I hate to say it this way, and I hope you don't take it the wrong way, I was a Christian imitator. I go to church. I pray before I eat. I pray before I go to bed. When I drive up the interstates at night, I talk to God. I pray to God. And I thank Him. And I did. And I still do. I thank Him every day for driving my truck and keeping me safe. I wasn't driving. He was driving. He had total control. And he does this in our lives. He controls our lives, whether you like it or not. But these young adults, with their singing and their praising, they got to me, they hit me inside, and they realized that I'm not the Christian that I should be. And they were, I guess God was speaking to me through these youth. They really did, or He really did. And there was no billboard, there was nothing like that. I didn't hear God's voice. Maybe I did. Maybe that's what these kids did to me. But these young adults, that's what they did. They opened my eyes and made me realize that I need to be a true Christian. I need to serve God. And if working with these youth, if that's serving God, if that's what He wants me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm not going to read the rest of this because it's, when I sit down and type this, I couldn't tell you what I wrote. I just put my fingers on the keys and did a lot of hunting and pecking, because that's the way I type. But I told the kids this morning, and I'll tell them all, and I'll tell adults too, if you ever want to talk to anybody about anything, if you're feeling down, if you're feeling low, get my phone number. I'll give it to you. Call me day or night. I do not care. I will talk to you. And just call me. 10 days, 10 years, 50 years, I don't care how long it is from now. I don't care how old I am when you call me. Call me, I will talk to you, and I will listen to you. That's the biggest thing, listening to you. This morning, my last thing on here says, God bless us all. I realized after listening to these kids that was typed wrong. God has blessed us all, and God has blessed me with these kids. Thank you.
And I'm going to close us off here. When Mom first asked me to chaperone this group, I thought, oh goodness, these are crazy kids. Am I going to have anything in common with them? Will they be able to talk to me like they used to? Will they trust me with more than what they used to? Are they going to treat me like I'm old? I don't want to be uncool. But then I thought back to my first trip to Resurrection years ago, and I remembered the older kids who went as chaperones, and I remembered how cool they were. How I looked up to them for advice over the true adults. I was thankful for them, and I didn't realize how much I possibly inspired them. And I hope I inspired them as much as this group has inspired me. This group is the most amazing group of teenagers. I love them all so very much. I saw this group grow in just a couple of days, and I have seen them grow even more in the past couple of weeks. They mean the world to me, and I want to be a better person to look up to because of them. I want to set a better example for them. I want to show them that this battle that they are walking into is worth the fight and that there is a victory. And I know that feeling after proclaiming your faith. You feel amazing. You have this natural feeling of bliss, and nobody can bring you down or rain on your parade. But when you come home from that trip, things don't seem to feel the same. Some of you have got your spiritual batteries recharged in a powerful way, and others were born again, a lot like a newborn baby. We wouldn't put a newborn baby out on the streets to care for itself, and we're not going to watch you be born again and put you out to fend for yourself. Not many in the history of faith have survived alone, and you are no different. As a new follower of Christ, you are going to have fears and doubts and frustrations, and you may feel alone, But I want you to know that even though I'm in Radford, I'm always here for you. Add me on Facebook. I'll gladly give you my number. You can call or text me at any time. I got your back. Bonnie and Tony have your back. Debbie has your back. Daniel has your back. Dr. and Mrs. Stoker have your back. Pastor Jim has your back. And this congregation has your back. We will be here to help you to know what to expect during this journey. If you try to go this alone, I can almost say with 100% certainty that you will become a casualty. It will be our honor to walk with you on your faith journey. You don't have to go it alone, so don't. So you may be feeling a little like, what now? Where do I go from here? It's okay to start where you are. God has met you right where you are. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to read the whole Bible. You don't have to have a bunch of Bible verses memorized. I don't, and I'm not perfect. The Bible says scores of angels are celebrating right now because of the decision you have made. You've been reborn into a family, into an army, so you can fight for the life God intended you to live. And I did just say army. An army means that there is more ahead of you than just sunny skies. You are in an all-out war, and many people get taken out the first day of battle because they didn't realize that this was a battle. There is a definite fight ahead of you, and I'm telling you this now so you won't be blindsided. We are going to help you and train you so you can win the battles and ultimately the war. Sometimes God is going to throw you into places you least want to go, into difficulty. Problems don't necessarily mean something is wrong. It may just mean God is wanting to teach you something. So when you encounter your problems, don't be tempted to quit. Together, we are going to learn how to read the Bible, and together we will get past that overwhelming feeling you might be experiencing. Every day you will change. You will change today, and you will change tomorrow, and every day after that. God will keep changing us until we get a place to where we remain in Him. God's changing you is not a reflection of His rejection, but a reflection of His affection. He will keep changing you until you get to a place where you remain in Him. Again, I will be there to help you through it. You will never be alone. And again, Bonnie and Tony are here. Debbie is here. Daniel is here. Dr. and Mrs. Stoker are here. Pastor Jim is here. And this entire congregation is here to help you get through. You don't have to go this journey alone. So don't.
I think we're going to have another box of tissues up here, if not in the whole congregation itself. As you can see, God has touched our young people, our leaders, and I hope that they have brought back to you a message of hope that God is an awesome God. And as they said that, when they talked about amazing, if you look on the Facebook, they did not spell it with A-M. It was spelled A-H-A, amazing. And that's truly what he is, amazing. And I thank God we had people standing up here today that weren't going to stand up here today, but it's through God's strength they were able to do it. And I thank them for standing up, and then those that did it. Justin is one who wanted to play with us, play the band in the early services, and we need his support there. You need to support him. 21 this year. 42 sound like a good number for next year? We can't get 42 on a bus. So what do? Get a bigger bus. There you go. So you see what our goal is for next year is we're looking to have 42 to 50 adults and youth going to Resurrection or going somewhere where God is going to use them. If you've been on Facebook, as Bonnie said, you'll see exactly their love for Jesus in this community. They're sharing it. They're setting an example for us today, folks. And that bar, that level of expectancy is awful high for us, isn't it? They can do it. We can do it. Now we come to this time where we close this service, and we have this time of opportunity to make a decision. We're going to have an invitational hymn in just a minute, and the choir is going to sing, and we're going to ask you to stand and sing. But at the same time, we're going to ask, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If not, today's a great day to do it. You need to come forward this morning and say, I want to be like those teenagers. I want to know him. I want to know his love. And we'll be here. We just invite you to just slip out and come to the front and make that decision this morning. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. Maybe